Greetings. I'm Bill Plagtee, and I'd like to welcome you to today's edition of Living in Baltimore. Our guest today is Edgar Wiggins, who's Executive Director of Baltimore Crisis Response. And Edgar's here today to talk to us about the various help that his organization provides to Baltimoreans that are struggling. So, Edgar, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you so much for coming. First of all, for those of our listeners who are unfamiliar, could you tell us a little bit about Baltimore Crisis Response?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Baltimore Crisis Response Incorporated, also known as BCRI, is the city's first and only comprehensive behavioral health crisis organization. We offer a full range of services to people who are in need. So first and foremost, we have a 24-hour crisis line, and really people call that line for lots of reasons. Sometimes people call because they're looking for a particular behavioral health service, either a mental health service or a substance abuse treatment service, or sometimes people call because they're in the midst of a personal crisis and in real distress. And those calls kind of range in intensity from people who are perhaps just struggling or feeling anxious or depressed, all the way up and including individuals that are in a suicidal crisis and are thinking about ending their lives. So that hotline is able to provide immediate response and crisis counseling to those folks who need it. Depending on the level of crisis and the level of need, the other services that we offer are something called mobile crisis teams. And these teams are available to go out to meet people in their homes or other locations and offer immediate face-to-face help. Our teams consist of two people. One is a licensed mental health professional, and the other is a registered nurse. So these trained professionals are able to come out, assess the situation, and provide face-to-face treatment. That may be, for some people, all they need. Or the team can come back with multiple visits and check on people. But we also offer two residential services. One is what we call crisis beds. This is where people are able to be in a safe and supportive environment where they are seen by various mental health professionals. There's round-the-clock nursing. Every person that comes in to that residential treatment facility is seen by a psychiatrist every day. And so their situation is constantly evaluated. Sometimes medications are prescribed to help with the crisis, but people get a lot of support, crisis counseling, and there are folks available 24 hours a day to work with them. The other service that we have is for people that are struggling with addictions or substance abuse. We have what we call a medically monitored detoxification program where people are detoxed from alcohol, benzodiazepines, and opiates. And after that 7-day detox, folks can stay longer to get ongoing counseling, look at things like learn about relapse triggers. And so again, it's a very inclusive kind of, again, the important words are medically monitored. All of our programs have physicians who take the lead in terms of developing a treatment plan with our team of professionals so people can get the support that they need.
How can someone find out more information about the organization?
Easiest thing to do is to go onto our website, and that address is www.bcresponse.org. Or you can simply go into Google and put a query in for Baltimore Crisis Response, and we pop up. There also is our 24-hour crisis hotline. There's always someone available to talk about the services that we provide. And that number is 410-433-5175. And there are counselors available 24 hours a day.
Boy, what a great service. What a great service. And I guess your job as executive director is to make sure everything works, right?
Yeah. Which can certainly be challenging. I mean, one of the things that's important about our organization is that we work with lots of other partners. And let me just list some of them. We work with all of the hospitals in Baltimore City, and that's a lot of hospitals. And
yeah.
The way that we work with hospitals is sometimes hospital emergency departments will refer people to us who've come into the emergency room in crisis, but after being evaluated, they decide, well, you know, maybe this person doesn't need to be admitted to a hospital bed, but they do feel like the person may need 24-hour support, so they refer that individual to us for care. Our team actually drives out to that hospital emergency room, talks with the person, makes sure that it's a good fit, and then brings the person into one of our facilities.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot of hospitals, if you think about it.
Yeah.
But the other group that we work with are the Baltimore Police Department. And there are a few things that we do with the police department. Number one is we have a role in training the police officers, their patrol officers, to be more effective when dealing with somebody who's in crisis. One of our goals with training police officers is to teach them what we call verbal de-escalation techniques.
Mm.
So rather than have to lay hands on somebody,
There
are ways that people can be approached and engaged verbally to, first of all, bring their behavior down and also allow the officers to talk with them in a constructive way about what they may need. We also get referrals from police officers in the field who feel like it might be a good idea for a crisis team to come out and talk with somebody that they have developed contact with and feel like it's not a law enforcement problem. The person doesn't need to be arrested. What the person needs is treatment services. And so they will refer that person to us. Third thing that we do is that we have a pilot project with the BPD, and this is what they call the crisis response team. And what that is specially trained police officers who ride with a therapist. So it's what we call a co-responder team.
Mm-hmm.
And they are able to go out and respond to calls for service where there's a behavioral health crisis situation. The challenging news for me is it's a pilot project right now. The other thing, though, that we've seen is that their results have been very positive. I'll give you just a very quick illustration.
Please.
Many months ago, there was a gentleman who was on top of the Hanover Street Bridge, and he was threatening to jump.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, fire trucks were there. Police had responded. But the crisis response team was called in. And when the crisis response team got there, a young social worker and a specially trained police officer literally got on the fire truck ladder, raised up so that they could talk to this gentleman. And after talking to him for 30 minutes, they were able to convince him to come down with them.
That's amazing. As
you see, I mean, that's a life-saving type intervention.
So we
know this kind of team is needed, and we just hope that there'll be additional funding.
Yeah.
The last thing I want to mention in terms of our work with the police is, the mayor just did a press conference about it that I was part of last week. And what we are planning to do next month is that calls to 911. You know, one of the challenges, I think, for the community is everybody knows 911. People don't necessarily know our hotline number, but they know 911. So they call 911 for everything.
Right.
And what the police find often is, you know, they'll say, you know, we go out to these scenes and we're not trained counselors. We're not clinicians. We're not social workers. So we don't necessarily know what to tell the person.
Yeah.
What they're going to do at the 911 level is when calls come in and they don't require a police response, they require a behavioral health response, those calls will be transferred to our hotline.
Our
crisis counselors will be able to talk to the person, hopefully provide the resources that they need, or just be a compassionate listener. If that's not enough, then our hotline can dispatch mobile crisis teams. So this, I think, is a really important trend, so that frees up the police to work on crime.
Right.
You know, serious crime.
Yeah.
And connects people with us, behavioral health providers, so that we can give them the service that they need. And this is really part of a trend that some other cities are adopting as well. So what we're hoping, of course, that we'll be a model for the country, but it's really a good first start.
Indeed. My goodness. That's something that's just common sense.
Exactly.
And that's something that should be as you said, that should be modeled everywhere. Let's just hope that the money is there to do it. That's always the problem, isn't it?
Well, funding is always a challenge. I mean, we are a private nonprofit organization. We're freestanding, so we're not, you know, connected with a hospital or you know, a higher education institution. So we really exist on government grants, both state mental health block grants and federal block grants. And, you know, we're certainly grateful for that funding, but it never is quite what we need. And what we want to do is respond to the community's demand. So we are always seeking opportunities to apply for additional grants, for funding.
You folks have a continuing need for volunteers and donations.
We have a continuing need for donations, and we do sometimes accept volunteers, but certainly, you know, on our website there are opportunities to donate funds, which is always a need. You know, when we have our annual audit, one of the things that auditors look at is, well, how much of the dollars that come in are actually spent on the service?
Right.
And one of the things that I'm very proud of is that 85 cents of every dollar is spent on providing services.
Wow, that's really high.
And that is very high, as you know, and hopefully your listeners know. So, you know, if you donate to us, the donation is going to go to supporting the services that we provide. One of the other things that made me think of as well is that we also do provide training to community groups, churches, and other kinds of providers, because often people don't know about behavioral health conditions.
Right.
They don't know about illnesses like depression, and depression's a medical illness. These are illnesses that can be treated. Sometimes the reason that people don't reach out is because of the stigma that's associated with having a behavioral health condition.
Edgar, unfortunately, though, that's about all we have time for. Could you give us that contact information one more time, please?
I sure will. The website is www.bcresponse.org, and the 24-hour hotline number is 410-433-5175, and it's available 24 hours a day.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Remember, if you need training in fair housing, call the Maryland Commission on Civil Rights at 410-767-8600, Español Marca El Dos, or 1-800-637-6247, or go to mccr.maryland.gov on the net, or call me at 410-929-7640.
For Living in Baltimore, unfortunately, that's all we have time for today. I want to thank Edgar Wiggins, who's Executive Director of Baltimore Crisis Response, for being our guest today. Keep up your good work for all of us, Edgar.
Thank you so much.
And for Living in Baltimore, I want to thank you for tuning in. Let's try to be a good neighbor out there in all of our neighborhoods, and we'll see you next time.